If you're an average player, you want to be left alone, right? Because you want to be able to slide by. If you're a good player, you want to be coached. If you're a great player, you want the coach to tell you the truth every day. Did I hustle on that play? Did I make the right read? Did I play the guy with the right leverage? You want to know every play. Because you know why? They want to be perfect. Everybody here makes a choice to do one of those three things.
Welcome to the GOAT Consulting Podcast, a podcast dedicated to people striving to be a GOAT, the greatest of all time, serving it up in a way that you can get it in all stages of life.
Hey, I'm Colby Jubenville, and welcome to the pre-launch of the GOAT Consulting Podcast. We're in Pod Studio One in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and to my right is my good friend and CEO, founder, owner of the GOAT family of brands, Tyler Burnett.
The GOAT Empire.
The GOAT Empire. The GOAT Empire. And to the left, who made the big trip over from Williamson County in beautiful Brentwood, Tennessee.
That's it.
The next mayor. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Oh, wow.
I believe it's true. I do. And I can't stop.
That's thought we were going away from that.
No. I think he's going to be. And anybody that rolls up in here with a shirt that says, "Love is not canceled," when everything else has been canceled.
Even our first podcast try.
Yeah, even Carl laughs that.
Podcast shoot today. I mean, everything has been canceled here.
It's 2020.
We're live. It's not canceled.
It's 2020. And I want to say to you, I appreciate you for having the leadership and courage to step in to be seen for who you are. Why do we start this? Love is not canceled.
No, it's not.
And this podcast isn't canceled. And we're moving forward. We're getting this thing off the ground. As you just said to me right before he said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, he said, "Don't let the start stop you." And it's so true. That comes straight from Don Shula, the only, for you young people in your 30s, the only coach to ever go undefeated in the NFL. A true GOAT.
Wow.
So why do this?
The GOAT is born.
The GOAT is born.
You know, I ate a steak at one of his restaurants and got my name on the wall one time.
Where's that at?
Naples, Florida.
Naples, Florida.
If you look at the Southwest magazine,
we should probably take a trip down there together.
It's got 20 of those. That's not a big deal.
God, I thought I was a GOAT. Now I'm shot down, full of shame.
But that is truly your legacy. It's one of the things that I love about you. Here's what I love about both of y'all and why I wanted to do this. During the pandemic, I found myself watching movies. And when I do things creative, I will spend time and just write and have a movie in the background. And I was listening to this one movie while I was writing, and it was A Star is Born, which is a remake. And Bradley Cooper...
Oh, he's a stud.
Oh, yeah, he's a GOAT. And Lady Gaga, who is?
She's also the GOAT.
Another GOAT, are sitting at a bar, and this is when Lady Gaga is asking herself, am I good enough? Am I strong enough? Am I talented enough? Am I good looking enough? Can I sing in a way that people will listen? She says to herself, I just don't know. And Bradley Cooper says, look around. And she looks around the bar. They're sitting in this bar with all these songwriters and singers. And he says, look around this room. Success is everywhere. He said, it's not about success as much as it is as if you have something to say, and can you say it in a way that people will listen? And the conversations that I've had with you, and the conversations that I've had with you over the years, I get off the phone and I say to myself, man, not only do they have something to say, but they say it in a way that I think people want to listen.
I think my kids might argue that point.
Well, JD for sure.
He's good at arguing.
You got to throw that out the window. Those don't count.
That's an outlier.
Yeah.
All right.
But good. I think that's part of what makes up a GOAT. And so the reason that we're launching this podcast is you listen to podcasts. I listen to podcasts. We all have content. Why put more content in the world? And the reason that we've decided to do this is I think that, number one, we have something to say, and I think we can say it in a way that people will listen. First example, right here, the big bottle. That's institutional size of syrup from Waffle House. And so a good friend of mine, Jim Hensel, who is a coach to one of the GOATs of all time, the guy that's the CrossFit king, Rich Froning. He works with Rich Froning. He works with him. I'm working with Jim to help him put his material together. He said something so powerful to me one day. He said, "Colby, in your greatest moments or your darkest hour, will you be enough? Can you count on yourself and can others count on you?
Jeez.
If you had to stand up in front of the world and define yourself, what would you say?" And I said, "Man, that is what you need to say every time you go out and speak." And so we got done working that day, and I convinced him that that was the place to start. And he said, "You know what you do more than anything? You help people serve it up in a way that they can get it." He said, "You're a lot like Waffle House." And I've never forgotten that. And I think
I
know.
All-Star special coming right up.
That's right. That's right.
You know, this weekend was their 75th anniversary this past weekend.
And you're taking us right after we get done here. Going. We got, 17 minutes, and we're gonna roll.
We can take our own syrup.
For the next 15 times, 20 times, 50 times. But the point here is that, number one, we want to serve it up in a way that you can get it. We want to make the complex simple. We want to tell stories that are so compelling and interesting and emotional that you'll feel the need to go out and share it with others. The other piece that's so important in how we have decided to put this podcast together is, and Tyler, this comes from a lot of what you've talked about in your background in GOAT. And if you look at, and you've got multiple brands with, we've got GOAT Sports Properties, GOAT Turf, GOAT
Imprints.
The list goes, I call it the family of brands, and John calls it the empire, but it's,
I like mine better.
I like family of brands. It's just so, it's so Americana.
Intimate.
Yeah.
That's intimate. You're right.
And so
intimate. I love it.
GOAT is a definition in most cases that refers to people in sports or entertainment, actors, people that we see in
impactors.
Yeah, in an iconic way. And what makes them so successful is not only are they recognized for their greatness, the achievements that they've had in the industry, in the world, but more importantly, their ability to take others around them and help them elevate.
And that's why my GOAT, I'll go ahead and jump in on this.
Do it.
My GOAT is Tom Brady. And
I've heard of him.
That's so easy.
It is. But look at what he's done, though. I mean, the wide receivers he gets in are no names. And by the end of the year, everybody knows them. They're the best wide receiver in the game. The guy just makes people better. And we're about to find out if it's him or Belichick. You know, because Belichick's pretty special too.
Ooh, that sounds like who really is the GOAT? Belichick or
Brady? You know, but
I've never even heard of him.
I mean, the guy is just develops people around him. He makes everybody around him better. And I think people can argue that Michael Jordan did a lot of the same things.
Well, but, that's my GOAT, Michael. I mean, that's first
thing. Superficial GOATs.
Listen, I wrote three names down. Three people that I have a lot in common with.
I expected a lot more out of you and your substance. If for a guy that wears a shirt, love is not canceled. And I was thinking somebody like John Lennon or Yoko Ono would be your GOAT.
They're pretty special, too. I'm not sure they can touch these three that I wrote down.
Let's hear them.
These are three that I have intimately, to stay with that word, connected with over the years. We have a lot in common in how we grew up. Michael Jordan, right? I mean, we're on the heels of The Last Dance, 10 episodes that carried us all through Corona.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. I mean, in high school, one of my last things I did as a senior was a monologue where I recited one of the greatest songs of all time by one of the GOATs.
American Pie.
Dear Mama by Tupac.
He's
a GOAT. One of his high school love notes just sold at auction 3 weeks ago for $80,000.
If they got mine would sell for a lot more.
You know, they probably would. But he's been dead for 20 years, and here's his love notes going for 80 grand, right?
First, let me ask you this. How in the world did you even know that? How did you know that his love notes sold for $20,000?
He follows the hashtag Tupac.
If you really had to ask, those love notes now hang in my office at home.
Right,
so,
awesome.
But I've got one more. I'm just going to throw it out quick. We don't have to camp on it. But GOAT, the only reason we have food on TV today is because of the GOAT, Julia Childs. The pioneer.
Oh, my God.
You know, not only as Tyler let us know, I mean, does a GOAT elevate everybody else around them?
Right.
They change in their industry, but she changed the world. I mean, now we have Food Network, and we have, you know, Bobby Flay. And we've got Hell's Kitchen and every food thing out there.
Yep.
She was the mama, Julia.
I like it. I like it. Since neither of y'all asked me.
Well, I was just about to ask you,
Well, thank you.
What, I usually don't have to ask before you share. So,
Corey, can you show me? Can you tell me who
besides
your
Tommy Redinger, who truly is a GOAT, we'll talk about that later one day.
Spare us.
But mine is Eric Taylor.
Oh.
Do you even know who that is?
No idea.
Athlete?
Do you mean Eric Clapton?
No. Carl, Eric Taylor? He's a head football coach on Friday Night Lights.
So can we just say if
he's the guy that said clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Now, you can't serve it up any better than that. I say this because you know what? This is how bad your life gets in your 50s, you know? And I'm not even there yet. I spent the whole weekend, Labor Day weekend. I watched, what do they call those things where it's all day long?
You binged.
Every day. But yeah, but there's
episodes.
There's another one.
Yeah.
I did binge. What's it called?
Marathon.
Thank you.
Yeah. On Friday Night Lights.
A marathon on Friday Night Lights. I watched six seasons.
So we did binge watch that. We did marathon it one day, but in 2011 in spring training, I think is about when that came out.
Yeah.
And my roommate was George Springer and Delano DeShields Jr. and Jonathan Singleton. So a good group of good cast.
Shout out our first shout outs.
So, yeah, our first shout outs. But we would have the whole day at spring training. And, like, we would get done, and the guys would be like, hey, we got to get home. We got to watch Friday Night Lights. And so we would camp out and watch Friday Night Lights together.
You grew up watching that and playing football and were, what, state championship game?
That was past my prime there.
All right. Well, Eric Taylor, and then, yes, the GOAT for me, other than Eric Taylor, who I really secretly want to be, is Nick Saban. Mm. Saban says things that are so impactful and serves it up in a way that people can get it and so inspiring that when I think about truly a coach or a GOAT that brings people and elevates them and then is recognized, obviously, for their own success. I remember in a interview that he did on 60 Minutes with Armin Katan, they asked the president, they said to the president, you know, Nick Saban makes north of, and this is back 10 years ago, makes north of $4.6 million. Mm. Do you think you can justify that kind of salary for
investment.
A coach? Yeah, investment. And without wavering, the president said, I think it's the best investment the University of Alabama has ever made.
That's strong.
Well, it speaks to...
That's GOAT language.
It speaks to me then, the segue into then, if we know that that's what a GOAT is in sports... then what is the GOAT in business? And the GOAT in business, number one, to me, is someone that competes on unique perspective, unique education, and unique experience. Mm-hmm. And so while we want people to serve, we want to serve it up in a way that they can get it, just like Waffle House. And we want them to understand the GOAT concept from sports. It's just as important because I think why we're here today is on a personal level, to help people make sense of their lives. And on a professional level, to help people make sense of their lives. And we live in a world today where the personal and professional have intersected to the point that we really can't tell the difference. Mm. And so if you think about that idea of perspective, education, and experience, it should make you pause and ask yourself, what are those things? How is it that I see my business differently? Because both of you are known in your businesses for seeing it differently, mm-hmm. which is why people choose to have a relationship with you. What do I know through my unique education that other people don't know? Sometimes when I go out with you, I'm like, I think I may just quit all the stuff that I'm doing and sell for goat turf. And then I say to myself, there's no way I can do that. I can't even remember all the terms. But it's because of the education.
And the unique experiences.
That you've got and the experiences along the way. So the big piece of GOAT in business is perspective, education, experience. You know, John, one of the things that that allowed you and I to connect early on. And we're both big Brené Brown fans. And, yep. And Brené says that the most basic need of people is to connect and feel connected. Mm. And I think, you know, we both had some perspective that we saw some connection on. What do you think about perspective and the way you see it, and the way you see the industry, and the way that you see what you do?
It's a deep question.
Yeah.
You
said to challenge you in the first episode. You said, you said, Colby, come out of the gate and ask me questions that I will have no way to answer without just being put on the spot.
Well, going back to perspective too, I mean, let's hit on that, where we see our perspective is so much different in our 20s,
yeah,
than 30s, than 40s, than, yeah, 50s.
Well, let's, yeah, talk about that for a second, because that's another big piece, right?
Well, and that's right where I went to. I mean, as soon as you started talking about, you know, one of the things that originally connected us, that fateful day many years ago.
Thank you, Rick Clody.
It was...
I don't even think we hit it off the first day. I think we had to schedule another meeting.
Wow. Well, I guess one of us didn't hit it off. I mean, for me, it was love at first sight. But
well, love's not canceled.
That's usually, one-sided.
Still 10 years later. That's true.
But, you know, I know we have always shared an affinity for Jerry Maguire. And,
yeah,
I know part of this podcast is what we're going to talk about is as you've alluded to and Tyler just mentioned, is the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And we each share that unique perspective,
yeah,
experience, education. Jerry Maguire was a big connector for me. We're at the 20-year anniversary of Jerry Maguire, I believe.
It's got to be, at least.
He was 35,
yeah,
in that movie. And I was thinking about on the way over here, why do I, and probably we,
yeah,
that have seen it, at least, Tyler, still disappointed and hurt, feel lonely about that.
I'm going to watch,
yeah,
it. I'm going to watch it this weekend, okay?
Seriously?
I need to understand where exactly we're at. With
the, all right.
Okay. I've seen
snippets. Next episode, worldwide followers,
release.
We expect you to ask Tyler what his takeaway was from Jerry Maguire. So,
yes.
But the reason that we all love Jerry Maguire is because at 35, he stopped saying, I'm going to be who everyone says I should be, or who the world tells me I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to be my true self.
Yeah.
It's the evolution that he starts to experience in his 30s. And here I am at the end of my 30s, and I look back, and it's helped me think through all the ways that hopefully that I've evolved. But that's certainly one of them, right? Like, I want to stop being who everyone tells me I should be, or I'm supposed to be my true self.
Well, it reminds me of that story, you know, and you still cheer for Georgia, and we're working on that every year. And every
not
Saturday,
sure they're working on that every year.
Every Saturday, I call you and say, just to make sure you know what time the Alabama football game is on, if you want to watch that. But there was one professor in perspective and education and experience. See, I'm kind of giving a plug here for college professors. You know what they say about college professors, right?
I know one of those.
Those who can do and those who can't teach.
That's it.
And then the old saying, the Woody Allen saying, is those who can't teach, teach PE. Right? We'll talk about that later.
All right.
But first, to set the stage to what Tyler said, it is about 20s and 30s and 40s. And here's what it looks like. In our 20s, they teach us to get in the game. And this is why I asked you this question.
I think we all got in the game at 20, didn't we?
Oh, gosh, yeah. 20s get in the game. They don't say what game to get into, but they say go get in the game. Tyler, what was the first game you got into?
Well, I opened a baseball facility. Well, I guess
the lawn business.
Yeah, I mean, that started at 15.
You were making plenty, but that's the first game you got into.
I guess that's the first game I got into, was cutting grass. I remember, you know, it's funny. You start doing it when you're 12 years old, but I remember my 15th birthday. You know, you're wondering, it's like Christmas, right? It's your birthday. You know, your family's got you a gift. My gift was a lawnmower, a weed eater, and a blower.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking,
beautiful.
What in the world do I just get?
I've got you
to fish.
I've got you.
But yeah, that's the first game I got into, and I'm thankful for that game that I got into.
Well, it made you a lot of money. My presents at Christmas every year were underwear and socks. But we're not.
Oh, I got those.
I'm
too.
I'm gonna go see my
cologne.
Therapist.
I always got cologne.
Oh yeah, after this. But our 20s, they teach us to get in the game, and your game that you got into was making money. How do I make money, right?
Yep, exactly.
John, what was your first game you got into?
Gosh, I mean, I probably answer a few things, but it's you're talking about the lawn business. My dad owned his own lawn company when I was growing up.
All right.
And just sold it a few years ago. But
really?
It was, I remember when I was 13, 14, 15, in the summers, he had a contract with the city, and he would drop me off at the cemetery with a weed eater and tell at 7 a.m. and tell me and pick me up at 5.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I would weed eat around every single gravestone. And it shaped me in a lot of ways. And one of those ways is
do
that
you
I
wish have, you had turf there?
Yes, I do.
That was good.
And one of those
that was good.
One of those ways that it shaped me is that I have never touched a weed eater since that
Amen,
last summer
brother.
with my dad. So thanks, Dad, for that.
Amen. Well, Wayne Williams, my dad, who took my wife over at one, I call it the Wayne Williams School for Better Living and Better People.
He should have him as a guest.
We will. We will. I don't know if I can be there for it, but we definitely will. But he showed up one day and had a manual mower. Now, do you remember these things, the manual mowers?
Yeah,
do
I
you?
Remember those.
The real mower?
Yes.
I used to use one at one of my last houses before I had turf.
Yeah, so he came
now
out.
Now I don't use mowers.
Yeah.
Ding.
Ding. He taught me how to sharpen the blade. And so we bought this beautiful house over on 635 Chut Hill Lane. I'll never forget it. It's the bottom of the hill. And so the yard went up like this.
Oh,
and so it took me about 8.5 hours to cut the grass. And so I got done with it that first time. And then I did it the second time about 2 weeks later in Mobile in the summer. It's really hot. The rain happens almost every day. And so I said to him, I said, Dad, why is it that you're making me use a manual mower when they have all these other mowers? Mm. Gas mower, propelled mower, riding mower. And he says, he said, without even looking up from what he was reading, he said, I just don't like the noise. And I said, beautiful. Well, you were inside. He goes, yeah, I can still hear it. Now, here's the genius.
Who knew this was going to be a podcast about our love
well,
of
our love for
getting
started. Well, getting started just come full circle. But here's the genius. Here's what he was teaching me. Because about a month later, he said to me, do you think you could do a better job and it would be easier and faster if you bought a gas propelled mower? And I was like, chomping at the bit. Yeah. Well, let's go down to Sears and I'll let you pick one out and then you can start a lawnmower job and you can pay me back.
Love it. Sounds similar.
So perspective. So then I get out there and I knock on every door up and down Tut Hill Lane and I get my first three yards to cut, and then I realized that I don't want to cut grass anymore, and I start knocking on doors. And so for my first hard skill, started off cutting grass, but my second was knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And so perspective is given by a lot in many ways by our parents, that unique perspective. And then that unique education is there's one or two coaches and teachers along the way. And we'll talk about them in this podcast that helps.
Professor Ellis.
Yes, we're going to get there. In our 20s, we do eventually get in the real game we're going to be in, right? The game that we're supposed to think we're supposed to play that everybody else said you're going to play this game,
yep.
Professor Ellis. Then our 30s, we move up in the game. In our 40s, we try to stay in the game because those 30-year-olds are so damn good.
They are good.
I feel old. And then our 50s, what the research says, and this is what the podcast is about, the last piece, is in our 50s, we finally say, this is what I really want. Now, I used to stop at our 50s and say, this is what I really want. I was speaking out in Phoenix, and I've made several. I did not go to a speaker school. I don't know if y'all know that. I did not.
I didn't know there was a speaker school.
Well, there is.
I definitely didn't go to that either, so I apologize in advance.
It's in California.
You and William Hung. Does anybody remember him? I had not had any professional training. Remember?
The dance or what?
Yeah. No, American Idol.
Yes, yeah. And guy was a home run.
Yeah.
But I did not have any official training or formal training, as I was all like to say, in speaking school. You just said that, and it's totally screwed my train of thought
where the 60s. You were speaking in Arizona.
Thank you.
I think I need to return that favor.
Yeah. And so the microphone was handed out to the crowd, and I said, you can ask me anything you want. And he said, well, if you're 50s, you say, this is what I really want. What do you do in your 60s? And I said, yeah, his name's Bill. Let's just say it's Bill. I said, Bill, you tell me. I don't know. I'm 38, and I did not go to speaker school. And he said, well, I think what you do in your 60s, you get it and do it. And so the thing that joins all of us together and the lawnmower stories are all part of it is you decide what you really want. John wanted no more to cut to weed eat the graves in the gravesite for many reasons. I decided I wanted to move from cutting to knocking on doors. You decided to go and build empire. That was your first empire. Then you built your second empire with the batting cages. And you built your third empire after you went through a unique perspective and education experience.
So I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to serve it in a way you can get it.
Yep.
And then go do it.
That's right.
I love it.
So that's what we're doing here. And whether it's in your 20s, I mean, there's not a reason you can't figure it out in your 20s or 30s.
No.
I mean, there's people in the world that have done it.
That's right.
20s are the new 30s.
I mean, when did Facebook get established? How old was Zuckerberger? He had to have been late 20s, right?
I think he was still in college.
This is the first thing that comes to mind.
Everybody had to be. Everybody knows Facebook.
No. I hate Facebook. I just need to go ahead and get that out there. They're not going to be a corporate sponsor. But if you want to know more about Professor Ellis, if you want to know more about Zuckerberger over here, if you want to know more about the GOAT, if you want to know about serving it up in a way to get it, then you got to come to the second podcast, right?
We're going
to
do a second one?
we made it through this one, and we're right at the time we want to be. So the takeaways today are simple. What's your big takeaway? What's one thing that you want to serve up in a way that others can get it?
Yeah, I think what take us all back to Jerry Maguire. I mean, let's let this be the day that we stop being who everybody else tells us who we're supposed to be, and we be our true self.
Yep.
I think you figure out what you want to do, and you figure out what it's going to take to be the GOAT at what you want to do and how to have a GOAT lifestyle.
Always promoting the GOAT. I mean, always promote
the
goat. To me, it's really simple. You got to say this is what you really want, and then you got to get it and do it. I'm Colby Jubenville, and for Tyler Burnett and my good friend John Byers here in Pod Studio One, this is the GOAT Consulting Podcast, and we will continue to serve it up in a way that you can get it.
See you next time.
Boom.